Welcome to the Real Talk Christian Podcast, where we have real conversations. Oh, crap. I messed it up.
On faith, culture, and society.
That was bad when I tried to be like the Ohio State University. That's what I was going for. But either way, I'm Mark Hyde.
And I'm Chris Fuller.
And today, we're having a conversation all around us. How does prayer align with action? We're living in a culture where you got to grind it out, you know, be your own self-made millionaire. But how does that work as a Christian with prayer and relying on God?
By being the Real Talk Christian Podcast.
Let's just do this, guys. Let's go.
That was epic. Loved it. It was the best intro.
Real talk, guys. We don't go back and redo.
No edits.
That was bad. I was trying to be cool because
at first you were looking at me like, let's redo that. When I'm like, nope, bro, we're going.
You stuck with it. No, because I had someone reach out because like I'm a part of a web dev group and there's quite a few Christians in there, which is awesome. One guy's like, dude, I subscribed to the podcast. I'm like, Real Talk Christian Podcast. He goes, oh no, I subscribed to this one. I'm like, well, first off, that's a woman. That is not us.
Hi, I'm Chris
Fuller. And there's a lot of real talk things out there now all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, man. It's like on the rise.
Back in the day, it was like us and Real Talk Kim. Like that was it in the Christian world. Us and Real Talk Kim.
Now there's a bad moon on the rise.
What?
There's a bad moon on the rise. You never heard that song?
What? No.
It's like Remember the Titans. Just go watch that movie. That song.
That was on Remember the Titans?
It was. Anyways, we got to move forward.
I know there's a long black train.
Because there's a long black train. Anyways, we got to move forward because as you guys already know.
We're in the new 30-minute format, guys.
We're in the new 30-minute format.
It's not new at this point.
We don't have any new coffee we're drinking right now. We did drink the Ethiopian from Tekoa last episode. I can't say last week, but last episode. And I got a quick review to read and we'll dive into this because date of recording, April 12th, we're going to go live for some of our listeners. So this is that.
We're live on Facebook.
That end of the podcast. We'll tell you to subscribe to things so you know. This is one.
This is why you know. You're talking really fast, bro.
It's coffee. So anyways, this one's from Dear French. Dear French. Good news from great guys.
Aww.
I've been listening while I work for the past few weeks. Now I started on episode 200, so I figured I'd go back to the beginning and listen through all of them.
Dang.
It truly helped me get through the day and motivates me to keep a positive attitude towards my coworkers and let God's light shine through me. Thank you guys for the great commentary and encouragement.
That's so cool. You caught on 200, episode 200, and then
went back and
all the way
a
back.
Rewinder.
There's some folks. Was it Jeremy Hunt that did it in like 3 months or something like that?
I think so.
There's some crazy people out there where it's like, That's a lot of Morgan Fuller. Did you see in the Facebook group I made that post about, hey, so let us know when you first started watching.
Yes.
And how many people were like, oh, I started back in like episode like in the 20s and 30s. And I'm like, dude, you guys have been keeping up with this for the last 5 years.
It's crazy.
You guys are the real MVPs.
Super fans. Anyways,
real MVPs,
Dear French,
right there.
Dear French, we appreciate you. If you have not already reached out to us for your mini swag bag, please do so. And if you haven't already joined our Facebook community page, head on over to Facebook, type in Real Talk Christian Podcast Community, and join us where all the conversations happen
There's
on a daily
like
basis.
Right now, over 1,600 people in that group, which is
a lot of fun.
Stupid nuts.
It is stupid.
That is wild in a good way. Thank you guys for making it happen.
We appreciate you.
It's awesome. And so we will keep the conversation because this is a conversation I think would be really fun to have in the Facebook group because a lot of today has less to do with answers and more to do with questions.
Ooh. Well, what do you say we dive into it?
Let's do it. All right. So I don't think there's going to be any debate about the fact that we are living in a self-made culture, right? I mean, where everything relies on you. You got the grind, you got the effort, the desire to do something with your life, got to pull yourself up by your bootstrap, go get the American dream, shake them trees. And recently I have seen things where it's like, be your own savior, like be the hero of your own story. Ain't nobody going to save you. Be your own Messiah. I've seen someone say, be your own Messiah. And I'm like, well, first off, that's a little dangerous.
Sorry, you said be your own hero, and I thought save the cheerleader, save the world. Remember that show Heroes from back in the early 2000s?
I never watched that because I was a good Christian who didn't watch that type of stuff.
Anyways, moving on.
But you know, we are living in a culture where it's like, you got to go make something of yourself. If you want to do something, the only person stopping you
is you.
Right. But, you know, in the Christian world, we were taught since we were little kids where you need to rely on God, trust on God, pray for the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Ask God to clear the path and to figure out what path and plan God has for our life and fully trust in the perfect will of God and knowing that his plan is best. So I was sitting in church and we were in 1 John and we were talking about a conversation kind of similar to this, where how does prayer and works kind of go in hand in hand? It didn't really talk about it in the sermon. It just kind of sprung the thought of like, so how do you balance the fact of praying that God's will be done versus we're here on earth and we got to do our own crap too. Like you can't pray to lose weight and, you know,
well, not change
the diet. Well, you can, but you still got to get on that treadmill. Like, you know, like sure. how do these things work? And it was really fun because I started researching this the other day, last night, and about like, what did the early church think about this too? Like, is this a new cultural problem where it's like, are we in a self-made culture where this is new, or has the church always dealt with it? And it's interesting that the church has always had some sort of conversation around this idea of how do our works and prayer to God coincide and work together. So I went back into church history and I got two quotes for you.
All right.
Two good old quotes. No statistics, just quotes. Benedict of Nursia, also known as Saint Benedict, was a monk back in the 5th century, like 480 AD, I think is when he passed away or something like that. And he actually had a motto, which is Ora et Labora, which translates to pray and work. Do both. Like it's Latin. So his motto, and so there's also like the Saint Benedictine way of monastery. There's these different things where it's mm-hmm. the fact of, yes, pray to God, but also go do the work as well.
Right.
So these monks were very active and involved in their communities because they were like, yes, we got to pray. So we're going to have times of prayer and supplication, but we going to go do the work too. Like That's what Saint Benedict was all about. And then Ignatius of Loyola, also known as Saint Ignatius, one of the more popular church mm-hmm. saints and church fathers. He was a Catholic priest and theologian. And he's attributed to saying this, which I didn't know this was Ignatius. I always thought this was George Mueller.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew this.
I always knew it was George Mueller, because maybe George Mueller said it too.
This is one of my favorite quotes.
But it's pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you. So pray as if it literally, God can only do it, but work as if it all literally goes on to you. And I started thinking, like, okay, so how do you balance that though? Mm. Like in an everyday work life of us where we have jobs, we have families, we have to provide for our families, we have to love our spouses, we have to love our communities, we have to serve in church. Maybe for some of you guys, you got to go, you know, if you want the A, you got college kids, you got to go study. They ain't going to hand it to you. So it's like, how do we balance this whole idea of the fact of we need to pray, but we need to work, but we need to do this, we need to do that. We're supposed to rely on God, but are we supposed to rely on us to get the job done too? And how do Christians actually balance it? So before I jump into some scriptures and some questions, are there any thoughts you have right now, Fuller? Are you keeping it tight until the end?
I'm keeping it tight till the end.
Okay. So I have they're longer passages of scripture.
I have
four passages of scripture and then a whole lot of conversation.
I want to see where you're going with it.
All right. So here are some scriptures that maybe it will help us think through this conversation a little bit about how do we handle sovereignty of God and him controlling all things and us actually calling to go out and do certain things. So I'm going to start in the Old Testament and jump into new. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says this. It says, "And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem," the nations did, "and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as protection against them day and night." So for context, because that means absolutely nothing if you have no idea what's going on, but for context, in the book of Nehemiah, the people of God returned to their broken city after the exile of their forefathers because of disobedience. Now, with renewed faith in God, Nehemiah leads the people to rebuild the city wall. So Ezra, they're rebuilding the temple, and Nehemiah, they're rebuilding the city walls, which had been destroyed many years earlier.
Which,
and,
fun fact. Nehemiah is just really Ezra part 2.
Yes.
So it's really, originally it was just the book of Ezra.
And didn't Scott just do a sermon series
on Nehemiah? He did, on both Ezra and Nehemiah.
Oh, did he do them back to back?
Oh, yeah, back
to
back.
Let's go! So if you want to listen to a whole sermon series on Nehemiah and Ezra.
Yeah, it was like a 16-week.
Go to southsidesbc.org/sermons and you can listen to it
right
there. So as they were rebuilding the walls, though, they were met with ridicule from the nations and legit threats of attack from the surrounding enemies. And this is how the people responded. And we actually brought this passage up when our conversations around Christians and guns, actually, where they talked about you have a plow and what's the thing you use for mortar and bricks? Like that little
The trowel.
The trowel and the sword. Like, right. That's the idea, is the fact of we have our trowel to do the work. We
that
have
would
our
be
sword
an
to protect
epic
us.
Band name, by the way. The trowel and the sword.
That was a fun, like, independent, fundamental, really the only ones going to Heaven Baptist Church's publication back in the day.
Oh, no. Yeah, trowel I'm thinking like a good.
That's a good heavy metal band.
Heavy metal band,
that's
yeah.
That's
the trowel and the sword.
There you go, guys. There's our heavy metal fans in the group. So, but that's what they did for this, is they pray to God. Let's see. And we pray to our God, and we set a guard to protect them against day and night. Right. Let's continue, though. So in Romans 12, verses 9 through 21, this is a big one. So I'm going to get my tablet ready because I don't want to look at it.
You want to do it this way? Look, I put it in big
font. It's in big words. Okay, so let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs and pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimations or in the gold kingdom. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, Old Testament, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give something to drink, for in doing such, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Don't conquer evil by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Hey, was that Steve Green back in the day?
I don't know. I learned it from Benjamin
Chadwell. I think
Benjamin
that's Steve Green. But and then last passage. Actually, that's a lie. Two more. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely or lean on your own understandings. In all your ways, I just quoted that from King Jimmy. In all your ways, know him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do not despise the Lord's instructions, my son. Do not loathe his discipline, for the Lord disciplines those who he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. And then last one is Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about the body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow, they don't reap, or even gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you worth more than they? Can you add one moment of this lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wild flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and then thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do so much more for you, oh, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? That's what the Gentiles eagerly seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worry about itself. Each day already has enough trouble of its own. So this is where the conversation goes, right? So we read Matthew, where it says, don't worry about it. Like, live and let live, almost. Like, it's fine. Like, you'll have, like,
God will take care of you.
And then you see here in Proverbs, you know, 3, 5 through 12, where it talks about trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understandings, but follow him. Don't repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. You see in Romans 12, though, this is interesting, where it talks about don't lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent and serve the Lord. Rejoice. And it talks about, you know, taking care of one another. Pursue hospitality for those who are your enemies. Actually go the second mile and actually go do something about it. Like, give them water, give something to eat. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. And then in Nehemiah, you see, we prayed and then we pitied a fool and smacked them upside the heads. I mean, I don't know if that's really what happened or not. But they weren't just sitting there praying for God to protect them. They prayed that God would protect them, that they would take care of them, but then they also did the due diligence of, we will protect our folks. So I guess this is where the conversation begins, is how do we balance trusting God, but then also doing what we got to do here on earth, whether it means protect our families, whether that means get a job and actually go to work, because Matthew says, why should we worry about food? Why should we worry about clothes? Why should we worry about this? God's going to take care of it, so we don't need to work, right?
Well, I think that's a little not the correct connotation to have with that scripture. I think that more of it's like, hey, don't worry because God's going to provide for your needs. Not necessarily saying he will provide for your needs by you not doing anything, but just don't worry because your needs will be taken care of.
Right. Like, but how does our role as humans play into that too? Because again, I mean, if you're complaining about never, like you don't have a good, like you don't have, I don't have a job. I can't find work. Well, have you tried looking?
Well,
nah, bruh. I'm like, dude, go to indeed.com. Come on. And people do. I know people do. And I'm not trying to make fun of anybody.
I mean, I think, but, you know, there's many times it talks about, well, if a man who does not work, does not eat. I mean, there's lots of different scripture that tells us, hey, we're not supposed to have idle hands. We're supposed to be doing things. You know, there's,
and Paul says to the one who steals, steal no more. And instead, go get a good job, work with your hands, so that way you can go bless other people.
Right. So, I mean, there's plenty of scripture, but I think it comes more down to the heart of the matter. Whereas we're praying to God to take care. You know, we were talking about a little bit of like the Lord's Prayer. Of
give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, forgive us our debts.
Right. Yeah. So there's a thing of, we can't do anything without God, right? We can't even breathe our next breath without God sustaining our life.
Okay.
But out of that, what are you going to do with that, right? So if I pray and if I follow scripture the way I'm supposed to, there's two great commandments that I'm supposed to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
And I think most of the things that we do, and this is where a lot of this comes into with the prayer, we pray for God for strength, and then that's about our loving God. That's that growing that relationship. And then we show our love for others. That overflow of God's love for us flows out from us into others, which makes us become the hands and feet, which makes the works. So if you're looking at it from a perspective, and I think this is where people get it mixed up of, I've got to do works. I've got to do works because Bible says I got to do works, rather than saying, no, I do works because of love, because I love God and I love others. And so the works come naturally.
So is it wrong for a Christian then to, because like, you know, we all have different personalities. Sure. Like, you know, I'm one where I'm like, I love Mondays. I love getting back to work. I love the grind. Yeah. I love the things. And I don't love creating new things because there's some Christians who are just entrepreneurial mindset. They're always starting new things. Sure. They're successful in it. There's other people who just love working a typical 9-to-5. There's other people who do other things. So is there anything wrong with a Christian saying, I want this, like I want to pursue this, whether it's financial freedom, whether it's this, like, is it wrong for a Christian to be like, this is what I want to do. Let's go grind it out and make this happen.
Well, so I think,
like, how do you keep that balance in check?
I think it comes down to the heart. And I think only each individual person can answer that for themselves when they clearly and truthfully examine their own heart, like we're supposed to do. We're supposed to examine our hearts daily, confess our sins to each other, confess our sins to God. We're supposed to pray that his will be done, right? That's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray, which in Luke teaches us how to pray. You know, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. I think the more we pray for God's will and we align our hearts with what God wants, which we clearly see through scripture, God's will, it's almost obnoxious how prevalent and like in your face his will is of loving people, loving him, right? And if we align our hearts with those things, I think the question of, am I in God's will? Am I supposed to pray? Am I supposed to grind? I think it becomes more easy for you to answer for yourself. Some people grind because they like the grind. They're gifted in the grind, and they can bless people through the grind in their interactions through those days. Some people don't. The job is the job to provide for themselves and their family, and they get more thrill out of grinding with being people socially or whatever outside of
but
that.
But could the grind become an idol, though?
It could be. That's why I say.
So how do we keep? That's what I'm saying. How do we keep that balance in check where we don't want it to become an idol that's controlling us? But if that's what you're wired for,
so
at what point does shaking the tree?
So that has to be more up to you, right? You have to examine yourself and saying, am I putting this above God?
All right, so here's a good conversation then. So, sure. Because I want you to answer this, I'll answer this too. So what are ways we can check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, ladies and gentlemen? But in this conversation, what are things we can do? Like, I think of, like, everyone works in different things, but if someone's like a manager of some whatever location that they're in and they have to do so many things to keep the boat floating that they're like, man, it's just, I gotta work, and I need 20 of me, and I only got one of me, and if I fail, then everything fails. How do you balance how do you balance that with reliance on God versus you got to do it? You know, like how do you keep the things in check? How do you keep the checks and balances in place?
So I would say, what are you doing it for? Right? So we're supposed to
paycheck.
We're supposed to do all things for God's glorification, right? We're supposed to be the light that shines before him. And when we work, we're supposed to work in such a way that glorify God, right? We're supposed to let our light so shine before men that men see our good works and glorify
our Father in heaven.
Matthew 5:16, right? So, and all things that we do, we should do for the glory of God, right? So if I'm working with the mindset of, Lord, I'm doing this for you, right? I'm going to grind this out for you. May your name be praised through it.
John the Baptist, right? He must increase, but I must decrease.
Right. But that was more talking about the coming of the Messiah and the decreasing of him.
But I'm more so thinking, like, I've always heard that in sermons of, like, you know, if we have that attitude of I want more of Christ in me and I want people to see Christ through what I'm doing.
So that's how you know, no matter how hard you're grinding for the right reason because you're focused on glorifying God. If you're looking at promotion or glorifying yourself and you're not thinking of, hey, I'm doing this best to glorify God, but I'm thinking of, I'm going to step on everybody's throat to get that promotion, you might want to check your heart, right? You might be out of balance there. So I think in everything that we do, if we do it for the glory of God and we keep that in the forethought of our mind, I think that's going to be the automatic gut check to ourselves and our personality. So if you wake up and you're like, all right, I got to go to work today. All right, I'm going to set my mind on doing the best I can for God's glory. Mm-hmm. I think that right there sets the tone for the day. For whatever you do, whether it's, you know, you're working at the mall or you're working at McDonald's, you're a big corporate lawyer. If you go wherever job you have, however hard you got to grind, if you go in with the mindset, I'm doing it for the glory of God and I'm doing it to shine his light to others, whatever that may be, whatever interaction, maybe there's no interaction. Maybe it's just a coworker that you see from time to time. Maybe it's no coworkers. Maybe it's clients that you talk to. If you do it with that mindset, I think that that's the checks and balance that you have to have.
And, you know, some of it, like that verse in Proverbs, I wanted to pull up to make sure I didn't mess it up, but Proverbs 22, where it says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. And you could see that in different contexts. Like, my biggest sin probably is the fact of I want to be the guy. Like, that is my thing. Like, and it's kind of hard when your business name is your own name. But
Mark Hyde Creative, not sponsored.
MarkHyde.com. but it's like I was telling Beth. I said, if you were to ask me, like, Mark, what would be a success in your life and in your business? I said, my first gut is my name's on a building. Like, you think of a university, like or like ECA, like the Raiden, like the Raiden Bush. I never know how to pronounce it. But like that was a dude who donated a lot of money to that school. Mm. Or you go to any college, someone's name, like the Joyce Center in Notre Dame, that was from a person. Like all these things are like, that's their name on a bill. That's their legacy. You know, someone said like, Mark, if you knew you made it, what would it be? And I said, my name's on a building. Like I made, maybe not made so much money, but I contributed so much that I have my name on a building. So other people can continue to do something I love. But then Beth asked a very pointed question of, well, what about your kids? How come those aren't your goal? Why isn't the fact of, no, I raised eight kids to love Jesus and they'll have a walking faith and they'll have kids and look at that legacy. Like, why does a legacy have to be a building, not people? Mm. That sucked. Yeah. That was a gut reality check because that's my sin. My sin is pride and I like being the guy. I like being on the stage. That's my Enneagram 3 coming up.
I think, you know, we've talked about this many times.
Yeah.
I think if you boil and you strip everything away from most sins boil down to pride.
Yep.
Right? I think that's everybody's sin problem
from
the beginning of time.
And this is where this thought goes in is, you know, and this is where I have to remind myself is my name more important than anything else? Or is it the fact of every person that I interact with, whether they're unsaved or not, I'm unashamedly a Christian.
Right.
They know it. I mean, when you talk to me on Zoom chats, you see my tattoos, you see my WWJD on my website. It flat out says, like, I was a pastor.
Yep.
I follow Jesus. I have a Christian podcast. And so my reputation goes beyond just me. My name could be completely connected with Christianity. Like, I worked with one dude, he was awful. He claimed to be a Christian, and Christians suck if that's what they're like. And all of a sudden, my reputation is so much bigger than just my name. It's representing the king that I serve, too.
So here's the real gut check.
Uh-oh.
Here's the gut check for everybody that struggles with that.
So
right?
Not me. Talk to them.
I'll talk to them. Here's the gut check, right? Would you, listener, not Mark, be okay if a person was saved but never knew your name and you were the one that, led them to the Lord? Would you be okay with that? If they never remembered who you were, but they became saved out of it. I'm not talking to you, Mark. Quit looking
Please
at
don't.
Me. I'm talking to the camera.
That's a hard one.
No, so it's a serious thing, right? So, you know, I think like the Joy Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
30 years, 40 years, 50 years from now, is anybody going to remember who?
Nah, it's just a Joy Center.
Right. So, like, for it that, what that it is. Just, you know, the Hyde Center, right? In 50 years, 100 years, who was the person that donated all the money for the Sears Tower? I don't know. I don't know the background. You know, I have no idea. But like Beth said, your kids, right? Those kids, eight
kids. That's a legacy, man.
That's a legacy. If you raise those kids to love Christ, and then those kids have kids that love Christ or go out and do something for the Lord. Man, that's impressive, because that reward doesn't just stay here on earth. That reward carries in heaven. As more souls come to Christ, man, that legacy is huge, right? The angels rejoice over one lost soul that was saved. That's what Scripture says. Man, that's awesome. Like, so to think about that type of legacy, I know it's hard because we get in this worldly mindset. I'm the same way. It's like, oh, man, like, yeah, man, it'd be great to have a podcast for like the Joe Rogan. Like, we could be like the Christian version of Joe Rogan, like on par. Like, look at the two biggest podcasts, Joe Rogan and Real Talk Christian. But in the grand scheme, is it better to have the big name, or is it better to have the creator in the forefront? The one who saved us in the forefront of everything we do. And if they don't remember Chris Fuller or Mark Hyde ever again, but they remember who Christ was. They remember that these two knuckleheads in a basement, and they talked about this certain topic, and they go, yeah, I don't remember who it was or what it was called, but I remember this, and it really led me.
Let's be honest. We're all two generations away from being forgotten.
Yeah.
Which honestly is kind of, for my personality, I'm like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, and I think of other podcast hosts, like you know me, I love Justin Briley.
Sure.
But, you know.
But you know where your name's not forgotten?
In the Book of Life.
Exactly.
In the Lamb's Book of Life. And that, I think that's
the big thing, man.
And so I guess here's where we can start to land the plane a little bit, bring a prayer back into this.
Sure.
We won't do the last question. That's a fun one. Can God's will be done without us?
Yes. Because God can do anything.
Yep.
He God can
chooses
do anything.
To use us and, yes. and work through us. Right. But, you know, what's a way that we can keep the balance of prayer and reliance on God, which we'll talk about next week anyways, prayer and reliance on God with we still got to show up every day. How do we have that balance?
Again, I think it's whatever you do to the glory of God, right? So we all have the grind to do every day. We have to wake up. We have to go to a job. We have to take care of kids. We have to take care of a house. We have to take care of something, right? There's something. We have to take care of ourselves. Something we got to do. And just remembering in everything we do, do it for the glory of God. Keep him at the forefront of our minds and of our lives. And I think if we do that we will naturally fall into those checks and balances of balancing prayer with what we actually have to do. Because if I'm keeping God at the forefront of I need to make sure he gets the glory, and I screw up, I'm going to be like, dadgummit, I screwed up. Man, I could have done better on that. That's going to instantly point me back to him. And so it's a constant circle of God, help me. Help me. I'm a sinner. I suck. I fail. Help me do better. Help me glorify you. And it just keeps that perpetual motion going towards him and keeping that balance.
For me, I think it's keeping the end game in mind. Like, where are we going? What's the goal? What's the mission? And is the mission to convert the whole world to Christianity? Is that what God has called us to do? Well, he tells us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Sure. He also tells us to go home and love our families well.
Right.
And
we're
you know,
all gifted in different
we're
areas.
All, but we're all called to love our neighbor. I think that's what it comes down to. Right. And so for me, with keeping the checks and balances, like I've confessed this on the podcast before too, where it's like prayer is not my standard posture. You know, I think of the Billy Grahams, who his standard posture was prayer.
Right.
I think of Charles Stanley. I think of Chuck Swindoll. I think of Spurgeon. I think of Moody. I think of a lot of these guys where it's like you read their biographies and they had a posture of prayer. But all these guys did a lot for the kingdom and for the earth. I mean, there's colleges that named after them. There's revivals after them. But honestly, I don't think they cared about their name.
No.
They just cared about what was their call in their life. It was to love God and love their neighbor and use their gifts to edify and glorify the church. And then through that, Christ's name would be glorified too. And so I will say this is probably the hardest thing that it is for me is how do I keep the posture of prayer? And some of it is I'm a very private person when it comes to prayer life, and I'm not good with praying with Beth. I'm really not. I'm not great with praying with the kids or for the kids. Just because it's maybe this goes into my messed up view of God, how you view your father, where it's like, I know my father was good. I know he was there, but he ain't here. It's up to me. And because, you know, how you relate to God is often how you relate to your own father too.
Right.
But you know, part of it is a choice where it's like, do it. Mm. Like, you know, like the Apostle Paul says, you know, pray without ceasing. It wasn't like you probably should. It's like, shut up, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice with those who rejoice, reap with those who weep, and keep the end game in mind. Keep the focus in mind. What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? And then what are the big things that we need to do? And like you said, you know, we're working for an audience of one. We're trying to we're working, you know, for God, not unto men. But whatever you do, do all to God's glory. And that's really where it sums down to.
So my last thing, my last challenge for everybody, and then we can move off. My challenge for you and for me and for every listener out there is prayer twice a day, and this prayer specifically. It's real short and simple. Lord, help my prayer life. That's it. Once in the morning when you wake up, once before you go to bed, and see what God does with that.
So pray, just Lord. Just pray,
Lord, help my prayer life. Sit.
Time for Fun Facts with Filler.
I feel like that's a very somber note to jump into Fun Facts with Filler. Normally we try to do a fun little segue, but I'm like, that's a good note. We should just stop the podcast right there.
It's going to end right there. All right. So the
but what you got for us today, my dude?
The fun fact of the day is comets smell like rotten eggs. A comet smells like rotten eggs, urine, burning matches, and almonds. Traces of hydrogen sulfide, ammonia, sulfur dioxide, and hydrogen cyanide were all found in the makeup of a comet. And the comet specifically is 67P Chiromove Gerasimenkom, blah, blah, blah.
Promotional Pentecostal on us again there.
Promotional postcards were even commissioned in 2016 carrying the pungent scent of the comet.
What?
That is an interesting postcard. Like, hey, I'm going to send this postcard to my kid. He's comments, like, what's that smell?
So do comets smell like Bradford pears? Is that what we're getting at?
No, it smells disgusting.
Bradford pears or comets?
Huh?
Bradford pears or comets?
Well, comets.
That's just gross. Urine, rotten eggs.
Burning matches and almonds.
And almonds. Just excuse me, sir. It smells as pleasant as an almond. But you know what else is pleasant?
What's that?
Those wonderful folks we have over in the RTC Facebook group. That was kind of an awkward segue, but it is what it is.
We'll accept it.
It's better than trying to segue off urine into the Facebook group. But, you know, it is what it is. But, hey, guys, if you are not part of the RTC online community, that's where we hang out all the time. You might not see us on Instagram or Facebook in our public profiles that much, but head over to the Facebook group where we have all the different conversations, where we have conversations on what we talked about, people that do prayer requests, we have encouraging things, we even have just fun get to know you questions over there as well.
And if you haven't already, head over to YouTube, hit in Real Talk Christian Podcast, hit that subscribe button and the bell notification so when we're on, you can join.
And make sure you go to realtalkchristianpodcast.com, where if you're curious, have we covered that topic at all about a question that you maybe have about the faith? The answer is
Probably.
I mean, with 240 episodes, dude, 240 episodes, that's unreal.
We've almost got an episode a day. Another 120.
Now we've slowed it down way more. Yeah. So it's like,
we got bonuses.
That would take a while to get to. Either way, guys, I don't know how to end it. I had a good segue.
We appreciate you and everything that you've done and helping support us. We love you guys. And until next time,
take it easy.
Yeah.